I'm going to be talking about teaching about promises. I took the word promises, and I guess that's what it's called, an acronym out of a word. And I want to go through the Word of God just to teach what promises God has promised us. God's promises are never broken. Yeah. Man's can often give too many promises. We as people promise this and promise that to people. We promise it to our children and our wives, husbands, friends. And we have a tendency to break promises, which is it causes a lot of confusion and hurt and disappointment. But God promises never go unfulfilled. God always promises, and He will fulfill His promises. In 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, it says, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue." Verse 4, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And as I said, people often fail to keep their promises. We have a tendency to hurt each other with promises. Never make a promise you cannot keep. But praise God that His promises are never broken. I really praise the Lord for that. Because He doesn't cause hurt or pain or disappointment. So in the word promises, the first letter in the word promises is P for peace of mind. God promises to give us peace of mind. It says in John 14:27, if you want to turn to John 14:27. In John chapter 14, verse 27. It says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace," that's God's peace, "I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." That's God's peace to us. Peace of mind. We all need a peace of mind. We need peace in our mind. We need peace in our heart. For the things that are going on around us is just tearing people apart. There's no peace in the world no more. But those who are born again Christians can have that peace that people in the world are seeking for. Because if we don't seek God's peace, especially the peace of mind, it'll destroy you. Not only emotionally, spiritually, but it can hurt you physically. So we need to always strive and uphold God's promise to give us a peace of mind. We cannot grasp peace of mind in the world only through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's the only one that can give us the peace, the real peace that we deserve or that we need. God promises peace of mind and heart to those who trust Him. We have to trust Him and Him alone for that peace of mind. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Him." Only through Jesus Christ can we have that peace. And that's a promise that He gives us. We need peace. After seeing everything you see in the news, what you see what's going on, people are just, our country, I know around the world we need peace, but we live in this country and we need peace. We need to have peace. Our leaders are taking control of everything. They want to take over control of us, and that can worry people. That worries people. They have no peace in their hearts or in their minds. The letter R in promises is the promise that God gives us is a promise of rest from labor. Rest from labor. If you go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Most of us know this scripture. We should always memorize it and always say it to yourself so that we can have peace. The way I obtain my peace, because sometimes if we continue to just concentrate on what's going on around us, you just feel that peace flowing out of you. But with Christ, Peace I leave with you, he says in John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In Matthew 11, 28, it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We can feel the burdensomes in our bodies if you don't have that rest. Our rest is in Jesus Christ. He is the ark. He's the one we need to jump on. He's the one that will carry us. Because labors of this world can get you bad. It'll hurt you. We need to have that rest in our hearts and in our minds. We live in a restless age of much busyness and little leisure time. We need to have time to relax and to rest. It's not selfish. I've been told that you're selfish if you relax and take it easy. Well, you can relax and take it easy because our body needs that rest. We need to have rest from labor. The torments of the world can cause a lot of hardships on a person. But you know what? We need to have a leisure time between you and God. What greater leisure can one have than spend time alone with the Lord? That gives you a lot. It gives me a lot of peace. We have to tolerate one another because none of us are perfect. I know that sometimes one can get onto somebody else's nerves. And sometimes there are people who don't have the strength. I've seen people just get all tensed up when people get them upset. They don't know what they're talking about. They're saying this and they're saying that. They get all tense up. It affects the physical. But God can give us peace, peace of mind. He can give us rest and labor. But also, Jesus promised rest from the strain and worry of life if we will cast our care upon Him. Give Him everything. Give Jesus everything so that you don't have to be without rest in your heart. It says that in Psalms 37, 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. We need to rest on Jesus Christ. We need to rest on the Lord. The next letter in the word promises is the letter O for opportunity. Opportunity for service. In Revelation 3:8 says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Selfish interest too often deter us from walking through God's door of opportunity to be workers for Him. Well, this week is a good example. We all kept ourselves busy one way or another, serving the Lord. Even whether it's in church or out of church, do something that will please the Lord. We have opportunity. God gives us all kinds of opportunity to serve Him, to do service for the Lord, whatever it may be. That helps in our walk with the Lord. Gives you peace. Gives you rest. When we see an opportunity to serve the Lord, take it up. It's a joy to serve God in any capacity that He calls you, or open door that He has for you. It says that when we take or make time to do God's work, He has promised to supply the strength, courage, and opportunity. In Philippians chapter 4, in verse 13, starting in verse 13, he says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. If we rely on Him to help us, as you see opportunity to serve Him, and no matter what it might be, even if it's helping some person, an older person, I'm into helping a lot of elder people. I like doing that. If I see somebody sweeping their sidewalk, or sleeping outside their door. And a lot of them can barely move, you know. We're going to get there someday. And it would be nice if somebody lends a helping hand. It's wonderful when somebody just reaches out. Even if they don't know you. May I do that for you, please? Sometimes we're just too embarrassed to want to ask. My wife can tell you that I'm not embarrassed to ask somebody if they need help. It gives me glory and it gives me honor. Not glory, but as I say, it gives me honor to serve. Because it's not really for them that I'm doing it. I'm doing it for the Lord. I want people to... That's a good opening for them to ask. That some people say, well, you're so kind. No, it's the Lord wants me to do this for you. It's a way to open the door to share the gospel. To share Jesus Christ. An opportunity for service. In verse 9 it says... Of Philippians 4, it says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Jesus will supply all your need. Just serve him. Take advantage of the opportunities he gives you. And God will supply all your needs. The greatest need that I would need from God is, it's not material. It's peace of mind. I want peace of mind. I don't want anything in this world to drive me crazy. Because if we concentrate on things that are happening in the world, it just interferes with a good life. It's not always things that you get or have, but it's what you do for the Lord. When we take or make time to do God's work, he has promised to supply the strength, the courage, and opportunity. The next letter in the word promises is mercy. Mercy in need. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Mercy. Mercy. Being human, Christians make blunders and flounder many times, but God's mercy is available to reinstate us. Yeah, we messed up. I was talking to somebody not long ago about how we Christians, we sin. We're sinners. We're sinners. We do things that we shouldn't do. But I was trying to talk to him and tell him, you know what? But there are sins that you know that you're going to do, and you shouldn't do it. If you know that it's wrong, don't do it. Just don't do it. Well, I'm just flesh. Everybody uses the word, I'm just flesh. I'm just human. But God has given us a conscience. He knows if you're going to do what's right and what's wrong. If you know it's wrong, just don't do it. But this person kept saying to me, well, if I do it, God will forgive me anyway. So you're thinking God gives you a license to continue to do the wrong. For me, it's a good thing that I'm not God. Because I kind of shared with them. I said, if I was God and you continue to keep doing the same thing knowing that it's wrong, poof, I puff you right out. But you know, we can't keep saying and using the excuse that I'm only human. You know when you're going to do wrong. You know, but God has mercy. So that's why God promises grace to help in time of need. If you have it, we have need of God. Even when a temptation is there, we need God to see us through, not to fall into that temptation. God promises grace to help in time of need. He forgives and cleanses when we confess our sin and commit our lives to Christ. In John chapter 1, verse 7, starting in verse 7, it says, but if we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, God is merciful. But if you do things that are unintentional, God does forgive. But we need to recognize when we're doing things that are unintentional. If you realize you did wrong, we are to go to the Lord. He is a merciful God. The next letter in the word promises is the letter I. He gives us instruction. God gives us instruction. Instruction for direction. It says in Psalm 32 verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way thou shalt go, and will guide thee with mine eye. God guides us. He will give us direction. That's his promise. If we just call upon the Lord, we need direction every day of our lives. We need direction. Because if we don't trust in the Lord for direction, we go every which way. Every which way except the way we're supposed to go. And that's the direction of what Christ wants us to go. We need to follow the path that God has given us. God's promises are of no avail to people who are set in their own ways and reject God's instruction. We can't live life as a Christian without being instructed and given directions from the Bible. That's why we read the Bible, so that way we know what direction we are to go and follow the instructions that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us to follow. Earnest Christians welcome God's instruction. Earnest Christians welcome God's instructions. Knowing his direction is always best. Our direction is not always best. Sometimes it can cause chaos. It'll get us in trouble. We wind up lost and wondering, which way are we going? Which way are we going? We need only to follow. That's all we do. We just got to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody knows this scripture in Proverbs 3. Chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. God can direct our path in the way we should go. Those are his promises if we just seek him. Continue to follow him. Continue to be in his word. Don't try to take matters into your own life. Always let the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, instruct you and direct you in the way we live our lives for Christ. And another letter for the word promises is the letter S. He promises to give us strength in times of weakness. The Bible says, in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That's God's promise. He will give us the strength in our times of weakness. When we are weak, he is strong. Finite strength is limited and often fails, but God's infinite power never fails. So why do we persist in depending on our own limitations? I can do it. I don't need no help. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. Yeah, we're talking about nothing. Nothing that will direct us into the way God will want us to be and the direction he wants us to go. It says little children are aware of their lack of strength and depend on their parents. That's how we need to be. We need to be like little children and rely on God's strength. Our heavenly parent promises strength to his trusting children. God will give us strength. Isaiah 40:29 says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. When you are weak, God is strong. In your weakness is when we call on God. The next letter in the word promises is the letter E. Escape. God gives us a way of escape, as I said earlier, in temptation. In 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God always gives us a way out. No matter what might look good to us, I can do this. It's no problem. It's not going to hurt anybody. Who's going to see? God sees. God knows everything. He knows what we're doing. We're his children. He's like a mother and a father. Just like a mother and a father look out for their kids. You're trying to look out as to what they're doing. You have to. Otherwise, they're going to get hurt. They're going to fall. And sometimes the pain can be pretty hurtful. God promises victory in temptation to those who use his word and pray. Matthew 26, verse 41 says, "Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." But is that still an excuse? Because the flesh is weak, I'm going to do it. I can't help myself. I can't help myself. That's a poor excuse. You might not be able to help yourself, but you're able to lean on the Lord to not let you fall into that temptation, to not go into the temptation, to not let the temptation draw you. That's what the devil wants. He just wants to draw you and come on. Nobody's looking. You're okay. You're by yourself. Nobody's behind you. Nobody's on your right or your left, but there's somebody above that is watching. You can't escape that. And the last letter in the word promises is another S. God promises security for the future. You know, many people today are worried about their future. We don't have to, as Christians, if we truly have the Lord in our hearts and rely on him for everything and all things, and on a daily basis, we need not to worry. We don't have to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. We as Christians who read the Bible should know what's going to happen already in the future. But we're not going to be here. I believe that when the rapture happens, we have nothing else to worry about. And I believe the rapture will happen. And when? No man knoweth. We don't know. But we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared for when Christ comes and takes his church. And what a glorious day that is. The Bible tells us that we are to live our days. To live our days as if God's coming. And he is going to come someday. Security for the future. It says in John 14, verses 2 and 3, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." That's his promise to us. We're secure for our future. We don't have to worry about homelessness in the future. No matter what the government is doing today, I believe a lot of homeless is because everything is so expensive that some people just can't afford to pay for certain things. It's hard to pay for rent. It's hard to pay for groceries. We see it. I don't have to tell you. Too many of us are griping about homelessness. A lot of people out there are not homeless because they want to be homeless. It's just that society is getting so out of whack. Everything's costing so much. The government don't really care. Maybe some do. I'm not going to say they all don't. But the point is, like Washington State, we don't have a gap on rent. It's open. They can give you. They can charge you all they want. That's why there's so many out there in the streets. But nope, instead, people rather make fun of the homeless. But we need to tell them that they have security if they know Jesus Christ. It's just not the homeless. Sometimes it's our own family members. They have everything, they think. Some of my family members and friends, they got money, they got possessions, they got everything. They fear that that's all they need, but they're not thinking about their future. They're not thinking about security that could be taken away from them. But for us as Christians, we have security in Jesus Christ for our future. That's why he says, he makes this promise, "In my Father's house are many mansions. One for you and one for me. Hopefully we don't all have to live together, but we are. You know how some people say to people today are moving in together because they can't afford to pay rent. They move in together and they're all happy and all rejoicing. Where everything's going to be easy. We can go halves on this and halves on that. The first 2 or 3 months when people are living together, I don't want that guy here no more. I don't want that girl here. I don't want that couple here. They're fighting among each other. But in heaven, we don't have to worry about that. We have our future set. And I love that scripture. In my Father's house are many mansions. And Jesus said, if it were not so, I would have told you. God would have told us, you ain't coming home with me. But he wants to take us home. That's his promise. Security for the future. I go and prepare a place for you. God is preparing a place. So it's not what we have here. It's what we're going to get up there. In verse 3 of John 14 says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's a day that we have looking forward. That's the blessed hope. We have a blessed hope. We have security in Jesus Christ. Christ's security is everlasting. There will be no more sin, no sickness, no suffering or sorrow, for the former things are passed away. Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I think about the homeless. So many of them. And I've talked to many of them. And some are fearful. And some are angry. A lot of them are hurt. But when you tell them about God, some do listen. But many blame God for their position that they're in. But we need to tell them that with Jesus Christ, there is a future. There is a home. They'll never be homeless. But they need to trust Jesus Christ. You need to trust God and God alone. You can't trust in man. You got to trust in the one who created all things. But I've talked to so many of them that they're just so angry with God. And you know what doesn't help? Is when we Christians talk bad about them. And I've had many talk to me about how mean some Christians can be to them, calling them names, saying things to them. They open their windows and they yell out things while they're over there with a sign. I don't know why they're there with a sign. Some are conners, yes. We can't say there's a lot of con artists around. But we can't blame all homeless. And I know I talk a lot about the homeless. I know. If any of you have ever slept outside in the rain, in the cold, wondering when your next meal is going to be. And I know that people say, well, there's all places that they can go eat. Some of them are not welcome in there. Why? Because some of them, I got to admit, some of them have caused trouble. And for the protection of others, they don't allow them in. I've seen people, I remember, I tell you guys one time, a while back ago, when I first met my wife, our first date was in a place where they feed homeless. You know, that was our first date. I took her out to a homeless place to go eat. That was cheap. Yeah, okay, Miss Glosser. But you see, I always had a heart for the homeless. And that's what we need to have, is a little heart. We don't understand their circumstances. But many of them are angry with God. And then when they see a Christian come and try to present the gospel, and if they get upset with that, I've been told that Christians have said, then you're an idiot. You're an idiot for not wanting to listen about Jesus Christ. It's just, everybody's different. But maybe that person didn't really have Christ in his heart. I don't know. But you don't just come bombarding a homeless person. You got to have compassion. Let them know that there is a future if they trust our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And sometimes, some of them, when I give them this scripture right here, Revelation 21, I said, God has a place. And someday, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, from your eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, no crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And I've been asked, "Are you really believe that?" I go, "Yes, I do." Things are tough here on earth, but God's gonna make it simple for us because He took it upon the cross. He took the hard part and made it easy for us. All we need to do is trust Him and invite Him into our hearts. He will come into your heart and He will give you peace. He will give you peace of heart and peace of mind, and He will give you strength to go through whatever you're going through in your life. God will not leave you alone. He will walk with you through the whole journey. Yes, it's tough. I know it's tough. But God can give you the strength. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you, Lord. I praise you for your goodness. I thank you for your promises. Lord, I know that we're not perfect. I know. Sometimes we don't know what to say to some people, Lord. But one thing I will always hold on to is your promises. You promise never to leave us nor forsake us. And I thank you that we are able to call you Father, our parents, and we can call upon you in our time of need. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Amen.